Thank you, Ron, for the introduction to this discussion, and I'm happy to be here tonight. Brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow moderators, honorable respondents, neighbors, whoever you may be. It certainly proves that base are not dead. This building's running over literally tonight. We're happy that you're here. We hope that you'll learn a lot by being here in this Bible study, because really that's what a Bible study is. It's my obligation tonight in the affirmative to present my material, and he'll follow me point by point and item by item and take hold of what he does not agree. Tomorrow night he'll be presenting his material. I'll follow him point by point and item by item and answer everything that he says. It's going to fill up my speeches tonight, presenting my affirmative material. This, of course, is what I need to get to. First of all, I'd like to say, however, thanks to the church here for hosting this part of this discussion. And we look forward also to two more nights up in Seminole. I appreciate Joel. Never met him before. Expect to be a good friend with him before this week is over. I appreciate any man who will defend what he claims to believe as the truth. Very few men will do that now. Very few congregations will do that. As far as I know, every church that stands where I stand, every preacher that believes what I believe will do. I believe that's so, and whatever we may differ on with anybody, as long as there are two congregations in the same area, that will back a debate. I don't know of any church that stands where I do that would not do this. As Ron has pointed out, certainly the Bible does teach it. It's very, very important that we do it to find out God's Word. I like to think of this as a unity meeting. We're trying to work out unity. Obviously, we differ. Anytime two individuals differ, it's always from one of two reasons. Number one, a lack of respect for Bible authority. Or number two, an ignorance as to how to establish Bible authority. I'd like to believe that Joe is just as honest as I believe that I am, that we both respect what the Bible says. If that's so, one of us obviously is ignorant on this question about how to establish Bible authority. So we're going to be dealing with that tonight, and tomorrow night on this particular subject. It's, of course, very important that we do. Now, first of all, it's my duty to read and define the words of the proposition. The Scriptures teach that the local church assembled for the Lord's Supper may partake of the cup, parenthesis, fruit of the vine, from a plurality of drinking vessels. By the Scriptures, I simply mean the inspired Word of God to be carried around in the hand in the Bible. By teach, I mean impart information to the local church. I mean just that. Saints who have agreement to work together under common oversight and pool their resources to accomplish common good, assemble in a common place, work and worship together, and then they assemble for the Lord's Supper. It goes on the Lord's Day, Acts 20 and verse 7. They may partake of the cup, fruit of the vine, from a plurality of drinking vessels. Now, one of his questions that he's asked me tonight has to do with the idea of this particular thing. He says, will a congregation, now the negative has the right to ask three, will a congregation of Christians be condemned for using one cup drinking vessel to distribute the fruit of the vine in the Lord's Supper? My answer is no, if they don't teach false doctrine on it. The Bible does not say anything about the number of containers. The Bible is as silent as a bee on that. And I'm going to affirm, as the proposition teaches, that when I say cup in respect to the Lord's Supper, it always means fruit of the vine, not one exception anywhere. One of his questions also has to do, that he asked me, has to do, did Jesus use one cup drinking vessel, to the Lord's Supper? And I said, the Bible does not say, so I don't know. There's not any way for me to determine how many he used or what he used. And I'll discuss that more if it gets into it. But the idea, I simply do not know. But by definition, I believe cup is always used to refer to fruit of the vine. From a plurality, I mean just that, more than one, two or more drinking vessels. Now tomorrow night, he's going to be affirming his proposition. He's going to say, the Scriptures teach that when the local church assembles for the Lord's Supper, only one cup drinking vessel may be used for the distribution of the fruit of the vine. You can see our difference is on the meaning of one word, and that's what we differ on, so far as I know, concerning this particular thing. You handed the literature right there, please. As far as I know the only thing that we do differ on this particular thing is the definition of the term cup. My proposition defines cup as fruit of the vine. His defines cup as a drinking vessel. Therefore, in order for us to understand this, it's necessary for us to simply study how the word cup is used. And before this speech is over, I'm going to use every passage in the New Testament on the where the word cup is found in respect to the Lord's Supper, and simply define it for you, show you what it's talking about, and study how the word cup is used. I'm going to turn first of all to defining the idea, and I've heard the word cup is used by metonymy. We're going to be studying a little bit about metonymy tonight before we simply turn to all of the passages upon it. But I want to turn to my chart number 15. Chart number 15. Let me see if I can get it over. All right, in chart number 15, cup means fruit of the vine by metonymy. Now, you may have never even heard the word before, but you've used it all of your life. The word metonymy is the idea of the use of a name of one thing for that of another associated with or suggested by. Now, this is a definition from Webster's Unabridged, second edition dictionary, 1960, page 1134. And Webster gives the example. For example, the White House decided, or the president has decided. In other words, you name White House, you don't mean White House. The House can't decide anything, but a president can. A president can decide something. I happen to have here a photocopy of a newspaper when President Ford was in the White House. And on this newspaper, it simply says, Ford himself was emphasizing the economy and the questions from the traveling White House. And local reporters were overwhelmingly on the subject. He spoke from the traveling White House. Now, what do you mean, a traveling White House? When you say White House, you use it to indicate president. I can say, Ron, tell you what, my ship comes in, I'm going to buy you a big steak. You think I mean literal ship? I haven't got a ship. I've got a little old boat in my garage, 15 feet long. I haven't got a ship. The ship going to come out here in the middle of Oklahoma? Ron, if my ship comes in here in Oklahoma, I'll buy you steak. Now then, now you know I don't mean ship. A metonymy is where you name one thing and you suggest something else. Now, about the greatest authority that I know on the subject of metonymy or figures of speech happened to be this little book right here written by E.W. Bullinger. He discusses, and he calls it figures of speech used in the Bible. He discusses 217 figures of speech. And he has a whole section over here on metonymy. He talks about four different kinds. Metonymy of cause, effect, subject, and adjunct. And he says that when you refer to a container to suggest some contents, then you are using a metonymy of subject. But let me read first of all his definition. Metonymy is a figure by which one name or noun is used instead of another to which it stands in a certain relation. Now, you name one thing to suggest something else. Over here, a few more pages. He says the container for the contents and the place for the thing placed in it. House is put for household. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, the Bible talks about the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, the house of God, is there a literal house? I thought all the people of God lived in a whole bunch of houses. Do all of us even right here live in the same dwelling place or domicile? You know we don't. But yet the Bible talks about the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Over in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 1, God told Ezekiel, you go preach to the house of Israel. Literal house, that all of Israel live in one house. You name one thing to suggest something else. He gives a lot of illustrations here about this. One of them is found in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 7, where it says that Noah, chart 4 please, where it says that Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And one of the questions I'm going to ask him tomorrow night in writing
is when you have a metonymy and it names one thing to suggest something else, does the thing named have to be present? Let's see if it does. Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Did the flood wash his house away? Did he save his house? Did he save a literal house? I suggest house means family. And he prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Look at Noah up there. If he's trying to save a literal house, there's old Shem and Ham down there trying to push it through the door. There's old Japheth up there trying to pull it in. And Noah said, hurry up and let's save the house. Because in order to save a house, you've got to save a container. You know he's not talking about a container. He's naming one thing to suggest something else. That's good, Bill. He's naming one thing to suggest something else. And so, this is the idea. Give me the candy, please. You name one thing to suggest something else, and the thing you name does not have to be present. I have a container right here. See that? It's full of water. You know what that is? You know where I got that water? Got it a few years ago. My wife grew up in Colorado. I married her 35 years ago, June 1st. We make it that long. I think we're going to if we don't die. 35 years ago, but I go over at Monarch Pass in western Colorado pretty often, going up to see her folks. And there's a spring right in the side of the mountain. Someone stuck a pipe in it, we go off there and get a cold drink of water. And I fill this jug right here out of that cold drink, that cold water. You know what this is? It's Rocky Mountain spring water. You want to drink some Rocky Mountain spring water about 700-800 miles from it? Now I say drink the spring. You don't have to be up there the spring yet. And I don't even suggest spring. I suggest the idea of water. I say one thing to suggest something else. And that really is what a metonymy is all about. Name one thing to suggest something else. All right. Noah saved his house. What's his suggestion? Noah's family. I reared my babies on the bottle. What do you mean? Well, you don't mean mother's milk. That's not what you're talking about. You're talking about bottle milk, the kind you buy. Any other kind of milk would certainly be excluded. Come to another chart, the same idea, chart number 16. The drunkard loves his bottle. Now what do you mean? He'd rather have a tub full of it. He loves a tub full better than does bottle. But you suggest bottle, you name bottle to suggest liquor. And any drink would be the generic. Excluded would be soft drinks. You're not talking about soft drinks. You're talking about bottle to suggest liquor. My favorite dish is enchiladas. Now, a few years ago when I lived in Wichita Falls, we invited 50 people over for a Mexican dinner. My wife cooked it. She cooked 12 pounds of pinto beans, tub full of Spanish rice, 150 enchiladas, pies, cake for a week. One family of nine didn't show, only about 40 showed up. Well, I got to eat it about 3 weeks after that trying to eat it. But let me tell you something. If my wife cooked my favorite dish, I'll guarantee she had a bunch of them. She didn't just count one little dish she cooked. She had bowl after bowl, big old Mexican dishes, whatever you call them. But she had a bunch of them to get 150 enchiladas in. So I go home now and I say, honey, cook my favorite dish. What is she cooking? I don't care what she cooks it on. I named dish to suggest something else. I am suggesting enchiladas. Other foods have been excluded. Now, the word cup is used in the same way. Whenever you turn to your New Testaments, you find the idea, wherever the cup is used in respect to the Lord's Supper, every time when cup is used, it consistently means fruit of the vine. Now, my honorable respondent is going to say the word cup sometimes, not always, but sometimes means a literal drinking vessel. Sometimes it means fruit of the vine. Sometimes it means both. A container filled with fruit of the vine, he's not going to be consistent. He's going to take three different positions on it. I'm going to be consistent and say the word cup always refers to the fruit of the vine. In Matthew 26, verse 27, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood. What was his blood? The fruit of the vine to us is his blood. In verse 29, he said, for I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, till that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, I want to turn in my chart number 2. I want you to see how the word cup is used in the New Testament. It's used in 8 different ways. And every time, except these one time, when it means a literal, it's always used by metonymy. I don't have time to read all these scriptures, Notice up here, here Thayer says, here's Thayer's definition of cup, poterion. It's, the word is found 33 times in the New Testament. Thayer defines it as a cup, a drinking vessel of the thing with which the cup is filled, by metonymy of the container for the contain the contents of the cup. What is offered to be drunk? What is offered to be drunk? And Thayer says, Luke 22, verse 20b. Now Thayer says, cup there refers to fruit of the vine. I turn back to Bullinger, there's great authority on it. What does he say it has reference to? On page 577, he says Luke 22, 17 and 20, where it says take the cup and divide the cup. He said it doesn't refer to a literal drinking vessel. You don't divide a literal drinking vessel. What do you divide? You divide the cup, referring to the fruit of the vine, in verse 20. And then Bullinger states 1 Corinthians, where it's used for metonymy, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16, 21, chapter 11, 20, verse 25, 26, 27, 28. That's what Bullinger says, that this has reference to. That is used by metonymy, naming a cup, when, of course, it refers to condensed. Will you go up chart 8, please? I want to simply say, when the Bible says, it says time and time again over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, a couple of times over here anyway, the cup, verse 25, this cup is a New Testament in my blood, this do as often as ye drink it. The Bible says the cup is the thing you drink. Now, I've got the right one, I'm sorry, hold it down. I'll have to look on the deal here to see. Chart number one, I'm sorry. The Bible says that cup is the thing you drink. Now, if you drink a cup, then this pretty well represents it, wouldn't it? Better take the cup, divide the cup, among yourselves, drink the cup. How do you divide it? How do you drink it? But if you drink the literal cup, that's one of these times it doesn't mean literal. It means one thing one time, something else, something else, to some people. But I've heard the word cup always mean fruit of the vine. I've been there, thank you, Billy. Now, I want to simply quickly go to these passages here as fast as I can. Where it simply means that which is offered to be drunk. Sometimes the word cup has to do with suffering. In Matthew chapter 20 and in verse 22, the statement is made over here. But Jesus answering said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink the cup that I drink? Now what's he talking about? He's talking about his suffering and his death. Cup has to do with suffering. Was there a literal cup there? Not at all. He's talking about his death. Then it can refer to the lives of the people. In Matthew chapter 23 and in verse 25 and 26. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye cleanse outside the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup and of the platter, that the outside thereof may become clean also. He's talking about their lives. Clean up your life on the inside is what he's saying. But he's talking about a cup. A cup simply means the lives of the people. In Matthew 10:42, he's referring to water. If you give someone a cup of cold water, no wise lose your water. He's talking about water. It can refer to literal drinking vessel when he's talking about the washed cups and pots and pans. Literal thing that you do wash. Sometimes cup refers to the wrath of God. In Revelation chapter 14 and in verse 10, statement is made over here. You spelled it out, the idea of what it's talking about. He also shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is prepared unmixed in the cup of his anger. What is the cup of his anger? No literal cup. Talking about the anger of the wrath of God. It can refer to meat sacrificed idols. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 21, the Bible talks about there the table of demons. The statement is made over here. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord, the cup of demons. Ye cannot partake of the table of the Lord, the table of demons. Now what's the cup of demons? What is the cup of demons? It's simply talking about idolatry. Meat sacrificed to idols or idolatry. And then it can refer to lewdness. Revelation chapter 17 and in verse 4. This statement is made over here. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations, even the unclean things of her fornication. So the cup full of abominations. It's no literal cup. It's referring to lewdness. Now, we come down to all the passages on the Lord's Supper. Now, I've heard that every one of them is used in a metonymical way. talking about cups, suggesting the thing that can drink, the thing that can divide, the thing that gives to us the blood of Christ, the thing that ratifies the New Testament. Pass out the sheets, please. I have some sheets here that I want to pass out, and I hope that you'll study them. I hope you'll keep them. I hope you bring them back tomorrow night. Pass them out again tomorrow night, possibly. But I hope that you'll keep them and study them. I want to study them with you. You know, anytime, when you come to a certain word in the Bible, and you want to find out if that word, what you think that word means, really means, if there's a way you can find out if it doesn't mean it, we do it all the time. We study with the Baptists and people of the Calvinistic group, people who don't believe baptism is necessary for salvation, or with the Methodists. The Methodists say, you know, we believe you can sprinkle, and we believe you can pour water upon a person. We don't believe that baptism has to be by immersion, they tell us. Well, the word sprinkle means to scatter in drops. The word pour means to let out in a stream. I affirm the word baptism means to immerse. Now, we go to a Methodist and we say, does the Bible say, now let's substitute the definition for the word baptized. Does the Bible say in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized, he that believeth and is scattered in drops shall be saved? He that believeth and is let out in a stream shall be saved? Or he that believeth and is immersed shall be saved? The Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 38 say, repent and be scattered in drops, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Repent and be let out in a stream, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission sins, or repent and be immersed. We know what it means. Those others wouldn't even make sense. Let's do the same thing on the word cup. Let's see if it makes sense. Now, is it a little drinking vessel? Is the drinking vessel filled with contents? Or is it fruit of the vine? On this sheet, you have one column for drinking vessel. Just take your pens and check them off. Drink, it means drinking vessel. It means fruit of the vine, or it means both. Drinking vessel filled with fruit of the vine. What does it mean? Let's read it. Just read it slowly and go home tonight and you study this and you can see the truth on it. Matthew 26:27. And he took the cup. Now what did he take? Took something and gave thanks and gave it. Whatever he took, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Now whatever it is, they're supposed to drink of it. Verse 28. For this refers back to cup. Grammatically, it refers back to cup. This cup, this drinking vessel, is my blood of the New Testament. Anyone thinks a drinking vessel? I believe it's the fruit of the vine. I don't believe it's a drinking vessel. I don't think it's a drinking vessel plus fruit of the vine. I believe it's fruit of the vine. This fruit of the vine, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Verse 29. I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine. That word of is the same Greek word ek. Just like in 1 Corinthians 11, we'll see we drink ek the bread. We eat ek the bread. We drink ek the fruit of the vine. Drink ek the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new. It what? I drink it what? It the cup fruit of the vine. Do with you in my Father's kingdom. Mark 14 in verse 23-25. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it, what, the cup to them. And they all drank of it, what, the fruit of the vine. And they said, he said unto them, this what, this cup, this is my blood. Grammatically, this refers back to cup. And this cup is my blood. And the container does not represent the blood. The fruit of the vine is to us the blood, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it, they will get my walk in the kingdom of God. Luke 22 and verse 17. And he took the cup and gave thanks for what? It, the cup. And said, take this, what? The cup. And divide what? The cup. It refers to cup. Whatever the cup is, it's what you divide. Now, did you divide a liter of container? Do you divide a liter of container and contents? Divide both of them? Or do you just divide fruit of the vine? I affirm it refers to fruit of the vine, can't refer to anything else grammatically. Just like Thayer says, just like Bullinger says. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God come. Likewise also the cup after supper saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Now, whatever the cup is, it's the New Testament in his blood. We'll get more on that, I'm sure, when we get through it. But this cup is the New Testament in my blood. I affirm that refers to the fruit of the vine, which is shed for you. 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless. And whatever the cup is what you bless. Do you just bless a container only? Do you bless a container and fruit of the vine? Or do you confess? Do you bless fruit of the vine? Is it not the communion of the blood? Whatever it is, it's the communion of the blood. Whatever the cup is, it's the communion of the blood. Now, I believe the fruit of the vine is to us the communion of the blood of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11:25-28, this cup is a New Testament in my blood, referring to fruit of the vine. This do ye as often as you drink it. Now you drink the cup, whatever it is you drink. I had some Rocky Mountain spring water here a minute ago and I could drink it. What would I drink? Drink the spring water. Idea of spring referred to the water. Thought about the canteen, referred to the water. Drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, drink the cup, container only. Hey, how you marking this? You marking them? I hope everybody's marking it. But when you get home, you ought to have it marked. Are you drinking a drinking vessel only? Or are you drinking fruit of the vine? I affirm the only thing you can drink is fruit of the vine. And any time a person says drink a cup, he's talking about something besides a piece of pottery. Because you can't drink a piece of pottery. You just can't do it. Ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup is the thing that you drink. Now the Lord unworthily, and he's talking about the manner in which you do it, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat all the bread and drink all the cup. And so when the Bible says that we drink the cup, we divide the cup, it just has to refer to fruit of the vine. Because the Bible even spells it out, Matthew chapter 26, 28, 29, when he says, for this is my blood of the New Testament. This refers back to cup. Whatever cup is, it is to us the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for remission of sins. And I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, till that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now it would be interesting. He's supposed to follow me in his negative. I'm sure he will as a debater. He'll follow me in the negative. The thing that I'm asking him to do is to come up here and check off what it means. Does it mean fruit of the vine one time? Does it mean a literal container one time? Does it mean a container filled with contents one time? Whatever it means, see if you can be consistent on it. And I believe we'll all be able to understand what the Bible teaches upon it. Because whenever it uses it, the idea is used of a metonymy. You name one thing to suggest something else. And the thing you name does not have to be present, but it suggests something else. He asked me the question, did Jesus just use one cup? The Bible doesn't say. The idea of one cup, if cup means fruit of the vine, he said little ring vessel. Yeah, he used one cup in the sense that he used one element, one kind of beverage, one kind of juice in that sense. I wouldn't believe in two different kinds of juice. I wouldn't have watermelon juice, tomato juice, something else. One kind is the fruit of the vine. Jesus took fruit of the vine, and he took the fruit of the vine, and he gave it to them and to us. That is his blood that ratifies and makes operative the New Testament. The blood that sealed the New Testament made it operative. And lets us know. And so, our time is about up tonight. Have just a very few seconds left. But what I wanted to deal with, take this chart, tell us what it means, and follow these passages, agree with it or disagree with it. Does the Bible use the word cup in a metonymical way to refer to something else? Does it in the Lord's Supper? Does it always the Lord's Supper? Does it sometimes the Lord's Supper? When does it do it? If it doesn't mean fruit of the vine every time that it's used, and I have missed it somewhere, I believe that it does. I want you to pay attention to my honorable respondent at this time.